If you can turn to 2 Philippians for me, please. Philippians in chapter 2, we're reading the first 11 verses of the chapter. Philippians in chapter 2. And Paul says this: if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's just pray, and we'll pray for the offering as well. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it gives us so much information, Lord. It gives us so much guidance on our lives. It gives us so much information on you, our God, and through it we can know you. We can learn more about you, about your character, about your love for us, your mercy for us, the ways in which you've helped your people over the many years, Lord. You've guided them through difficult situations and circumstances, Lord, and brought them out the other side. And Lord, we know this is true for us as well, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that have been given this morning. Lord, we thank you that you provide for your churches, Lord. And sometimes we don't understand where this money comes from. We don't understand how we can keep going. But Lord, you provide. It's very clear that you provide. And we thank you so much for the gifts that you give us, both financially, Lord, and also in the time that people give up, Lord. We thank you for the many gifts in this place, for people who play music, for people who make tea and coffee, Lord. Thank you for the conversation that happens over a coffee after church, Lord. What wonderful conversation we can have, Lord, with our friends and family. Lord, thank you for the many people that have gifts in this place that serve you. We thank you that you provide those people. Lord, thank you for the strength that you give these people. Lord, as we come to your word in just a few moments, we thank you again for your word. But Lord, we just pray that you would allow us to have open hearts this morning, open hearts to accept what you have to say to us, open minds to understand what you're trying to say to us. Perhaps, Lord, this morning it's open ears to actually listen. Lord, if we're tired, lethargic, Lord, give us the strength to have open eyes, just to be able to concentrate on what you have to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray, encourage us. Lord, encourage us, lift us up. Lord, if you need to challenge us, challenge us. Give us a lesson if we need it, Lord. Lord, thank you that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry to keep getting you up and down, worship team. Yeah, if we can sing again, please, just before we come to God's word. Majesty, majesty, worship his majesty. And we'll stand to sing.
Thank you.
great having this workspace up here, this is brilliant. And you've got a little thing at our church, a little stand. So yeah, it's Jesus that we're going to come back to now when we come to God's word, and it's that name that does deserve the highest praise. And as we saw in Philippians, Paul's really challenging us on our behavior, on how we should act as his children, and that's certainly what we're going to look at this morning. I want to tell you a story first. A guy called Bob, he received a promotion. He received a promotion to the position of vice president of his company. The promotion kind of went to his head a little bit, though, and he bragged to anyone and everyone that he was now vice president. His bragging came to an abrupt halt when his wife, so embarrassed by his behavior, said to him, "Listen, Bob, it's not a big deal. These days, everyone's a vice president. Why, there's even a vice president of baked beans down at the supermarket. Sorry, of peas down at the supermarket. It doesn't work if I don't say peas." Somewhat deflated, Bob rang the local supermarket to find out if this was true. "Can I speak to the vice president of peas, please?" he asked. To which the reply came, "Or fresh or frozen." Philippians chapter 2 is an insight into what true humility is. Not like Bob, who was very arrogant about his promotion. And I think this chapter is particularly refreshing in this day and age that we live in, because it probably teaches what's actually rebellious in this world. You know, we're taught to watch for ourselves, look after ourselves, ensure that we're happy, ensure that we're doing what makes us happy, doing what we want to do. So it goes against that in this chapter. So it's very refreshing, very challenging. Now, when you look up the definition of humility online, you find the following described: the quality of having a modest or low view of one's importance. May not be a surprise to you. What was a surprise to me is actually when you look at how often the word humility is used by people and its popularity over the last couple of hundred years. And it's tumbled. I like graphs, and I like what they tell you. And if I had a graph, if I had a PowerPoint, I'd show you a graph that just went tumbling down. The only slight increase of the word humility in the use of it over the years was during the two world wars, interestingly. So whether or not that had something to do with the wars, I don't know, but there was a little bit of an indent on the graph. So this word humility, it's not a very popular phrase, not a very popular word that we use these days. So what does the Bible teach about humility? And what is Paul talking about in this chapter here? Well, I've split this message into 2 points. I know it's not the standard 3 points that ministers or preachers are meant to stick to, but it's 2 points today. So firstly, what is the purpose and importance of humility as taught by Paul in this chapter? And secondly, what is the example that we can see and the result of true humility? So firstly, the importance and purpose of true humility. In the first 4 verses of Philippians 2, Paul etches down his thoughts on what it really means to be humble. And we find a common denominator in the first couple of verses of this passage. Let's read these again. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Let's look at those words that Paul used. United, common, complete, fellowship, like-minded, the same. One in spirit, one in mind. Paul's proving to us that humility goes hand in hand with unity. And Paul describes the importance of unity based on Christ and his love for us. And we'll come back to that in just a second because it's vitally important. So we're to do nothing for our own benefit, but instead find ourselves serving others and putting their interests above our own. One fine example of this is, if you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, just a few books back. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. We'll read from verse 1, just the first couple of verses. Paul says this as well. "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." So even though this church in Macedonia was troubled, suffering, poor, poverty-stricken, what do? They give to the ministry in Jerusalem, the other believers in Jerusalem, even though they can barely support themselves. And Paul's clear from those verses. He wasn't expecting it. He didn't know they were going to give all this because he didn't think they probably could. And the thing about this story is that actually those people that gave the money, they certainly wouldn't have got gold plaques up in the marketplace. They wouldn't have got statues built for them in the local town square. They wouldn't have had knighthoods purely because of their generosity. They simply understood the need for spiritual unity and putting others before themselves, knowing that God would recognize their servant hearts. I work in retail. I run a menswear store in Lowestoft, and our customer service is meant to be one of the best in the area, and we've got a couple of branches, one in which is in Malden down the road, and we specialize our service to be one of the best. So our customer service is one-to-one, serving the customer, spending time with them, helping them find out what they need, what they require, and hopefully through with a purchase. Now, this means treating them like kings and queens, helping them to find out what they're after. We have to do everything to ensure our customer goes out and happy with the service they had. And my team, I need to ensure my team are doing the same for the customers, treating them like kings and queens, making sure that their number one priority is the customer. By the way, the customer's not always right, just a little fact for you. That's a myth, actually. A big, big myth. We make them think that they're right, but they're not always right. Now imagine for every customer that I served, there is at the same time someone serving me with the same dedication, sacrifice, and service that I'm serving my customers with. Imagine that. So I'm being served by someone the same that I'm serving the customer. It's that great cycle of service. And I feel like this is what Paul's talking about here. Absolute unity. Everyone in the church treating each other equally. Everyone treating everyone else above themselves almost, as this would breed true humility in the church. And let's be clear, no church will exist if they cannot begin by putting each other first. Ministering the gospel requires selflessness and, most of all, a heart of concern for others. If we see others around us as more important than ourselves, we will want and need to ensure that they hear the gospel. If we care for ourselves more, then friends and family and strangers in our town just become a side project. Our desire should be to see lives changed through what we know is the true and living Word of God. So if we put our neighbour ahead of ourselves and everyone else works the same, we will serve each other and help this unity in unity and love as Christ has taught us. Now, I've read your verse on your website, your verse for the year, and it's absolutely perfect for this morning. And it's from 1 Peter chapter 4. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Christ is the one who gives us this strength. God provides. God provides the strength for us. So as brief as that first point is, the second point is truly, truly important. And of course, in God's word, there is a true example of humility. And the results of this are eternity changing. And this comes in verse 5. It starts in verse 5 and continues on. Verse 5 says, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What a challenge. What a huge challenge. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Maybe I should pack up and go and leave you with that verse. What a challenge. But what does that mindset exactly involve? Well, Paul goes on, verse 6 to 8, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So, not using God to his own advantage, made himself nothing, made in human likeness, humbled himself, became obedient. Death died. He died for us. But more than that, notice how Paul puts that, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The most gruesome way to die. So this man, Jesus Christ, is by far and wide the finest example in the history of the entire universe to have ever shown such humility and grace. So Paul's setting up a tall order for us here. He's basically saying, be like Christ. Be like Christ in the way he gave up everything, even heaven. Be like Christ in the way he made himself nothing. Be like Christ in the way he was obedient to his Father and everything. Be like Christ in the way he died for those he loved dearly, his children. And I'll never tire of hearing about the way Christ died for me. And I just can't get my head around it sometimes. So it's such a huge thing to think that a man would go through that death just for me. But if we don't heed Paul's challenge enough, there's a few other examples, two other little examples I want to bring you this morning to consider another few challenges about this mindset of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John's Gospel, you know the verse well, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you, he says. What did Jesus do? He died. So we must love one another with that same sacrificial love. Huge challenge. Another passage that is often taken out of context, hugely taken out of context, but is probably one of the most challenging verses or particularly chapters for men particularly, and it's Ephesians chapter 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do for the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now that's where some people stop the verse. But if you read on, what a challenge. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died for the church. He went to the cross. This is such a sacrificial death that Christ did for us. Now, what's the result of this humility? What's the result of this grace that Christ has shown us? Paul goes on, verse 9 to 11 in Philippians. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What's the result? The result is that Christ reigns above all powers, above all principalities, above all kings and queens, customers, bosses, principalities, governments. Jesus is Lord above all and over all. So if you're a Christian here this morning, take heart in the fact that your Savior is Lord over all. Lord over all your troubles, all over all your struggles, over all your difficulties. Lord over all your joy. Remember and praise God that he loves you so very much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you. Let's be clear, as Christians, if you're a Christian here, you know you're rotten, you know you're rebellious, you know that you sin constantly, go against what God wants for your life, but you're still saved. But do more than just acknowledge it. Be grateful for this immense act of humility. Praise God through being a servant. Thank him. Give back with your life. Now, this may involve just simply talking to others, maybe loving each other as God has led you, maybe talking, helping, praying for others that need your help desperately. It might involve standing up, movement, action in serving God. But let's ask ourselves this morning, how can we serve God today? How can we serve God tomorrow or this week? How can we step out in faith for him with our time, with our lives, in humility for him? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I've just got a few verses for you. This is powerful stuff. The writer of the Hebrews says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing better in life than knowing that you are created in the image of God. You are special beyond our human understanding. God made you in His image, His way. We're loved in such a cosmic way that even the creator of the universe wants to know us, wants to serve us, wants to love us, and wants you to accept His life-changing gift of eternal life. Sins forgiven, guilt forgotten. Jesus gave up everything for you in pure humbleness and sacrifice. And for me, I'm blessed to know Him personally as my Lord and Savior. And I would want nothing for you, nothing more than for you to know Him in your own life, in your own circumstances, to find that joy that only Christ brings. To find that joy and peace that being a child of God brings. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the way it's so strong and mighty and really cuts through us, Lord. For the challenges within it, Lord, thank you for the words of Paul here in this passage. Thank you that he's really challenged us, Lord, this morning to step up. Lord, you've challenged us this morning to step up, to stand up. Step out in faith, Lord. Perhaps there's something that this morning we need to be doing as Christians. Perhaps there's a way in which we can serve you better. Perhaps there's a conversation we need to have with someone about you. Perhaps there's something we need to be involved in. But Lord, perhaps it's our own lives this morning. Perhaps it's our own lives that through this humble act of going to the cross and dying, Lord, we can see that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ reigns above all. And Lord, perhaps this morning, it's our chance to stand up and say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for all that you've done in my life. Lord, thank you for your son Jesus. Lord, thank you for the death that he died. And Lord, thank you that he rose again. And that by rising again, he defeated death. And that as your children, Lord, we have the promise of eternal life. Lord, thank you so much for your gospel. Thank you so much for your word. And thank you for your love and your mercy for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And there could be no other song to finish this morning with than From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe, entered our world, your glory vowed, not to be served, but to serve and give your life that we might live. Let's stand and sing this song together.